Namaste and welcome to this week two, January 2021 homework update. So we've got 14 today, so I'll probably do them in three sections. So just before I get started, just to remind you, we have this new rule that if you want your homework in Monday's session, it has to be submitted before midnight on Sunday evening UK time. So last night up to midnight here is the cutoff, just so we're all aware of that. Okay, if it doesn't come before midnight, it's fine. It will just get into the next week's, it'll be the first one into the next week's update. So it's good. So we'll get started. And the first one says, hi Helen, in contemplating cause and effect, I found that when immersed in feelings of unworthiness this week, that the subject that I perceived as me and the object that I perceived as the other or the event that happened are one and are happening in the self. First, there was concern about the other. Then there was concern for myself and how I might be able to feel better. Then standing even further back and contemplating that they are one gave me so much distance. All my feelings of unworthiness are object, which has made this happening a repetitive experience, as I have misidentified these feelings as me. Just reading this material during the intense emotions are creating a shift. My feelings of unworthiness, the event, and this person's response are all one. I'm seeing this and then contemplating, where does that leave me in speech marks? If my someoneness, my feelings, the other person and the event are all one, then where am I? This is where the contemplation left me. I could see the visual of being in space and seeing these objects floating around in space and me watching. So even deeper than that, you are the space in which the sense of you, the someone, the object, and the feelings of unworthiness and the other being seemingly and their response, it's all just floating around in space, isn't it, with no one to pick it up as you are that space. It's really, really good you're seeing this, because this is the immediate result, that distance that you were talking about. I don't have to identify, and in fact I find it very hard to identify with these persistent kind of attitudes that we have of unworthiness, etc., if we are seeing that the cause and effect are one, the subject and the object are the same thing. Our insistence that they're separate out of habit, it is what makes us feel, well, this is me and this is not me. It's this kind of first division that we artificially put inside our own self that isn't there. You know, this sense that I'm the one here feeling this and that one out there is making me feel this, or, you know, some variation of that. It's really, really good. This gave me immediate distance as I realized that I was the space. Very good, that's what I was saying. And these objects are made up of me. So you can appear as someone, you can appear as someone else, you can appear as unworthiness, you can appear as bliss, or peace, all of that. It becomes much clearer, doesn't it, from there. I can feel the limitation of seeing myself in only one location with all the problems of that tiny point in consciousness. These holes inside of me where the objects of my perception seem to be are quite painful. Seeing myself as the infinite self through knowing myself as the self is what dissolves these perceived holes. So these perceived holes being the appearance of a someone. As soon as I appear as someone and I really hold that shape for a long time because I'm sure I'm unworthy, it gets more and more exhausting, more tiring. The more you see that you're not really that you are the space-like being in which these appearances are happening. And as you said so well, that those appearances are arising out of you like waves out of the ocean of you, and they're not different to or separate from you. It's immediate to recognize that space has no location. It's everywhere. Therefore, even the other being that seems so real from the someoneness, there really seems to be me, subject, and the other being, object. And even as you so clearly pointed out as well, I liked what you picked up on here, that even my unworthiness feelings are an object in front of the subject. They're not automatically bundled in as me, you know, included in my self-definition. It's wonderful. So I have seen one panic, worry, or problem be replaced by another. I have had to look at the common denominator and yet know that there is nothing that I need to do but continue to shift my identity to what I truly am. I've gotten caught up in the need to fix what I see. I know now that's not my role. My belief has been that when I see, I must do something. This is an old habit, isn't it, to want to do something about it based on the idea, the assumption, I am the someone, I am the subject, rather than subjective awareness. I am a subject experiencing this, rather than the subjective awareness. When I see that my belief in my unworthiness is being reflected in the world, my guess is that the seeing is enough, absolutely, and that I need only to continue to see what I am versus argue with what I am not. Is this correct? Is this a decision? Yeah, we have to really want to see what we are, which is what we're all doing in our satsang, working on that willingness to see what we really are. And also to see what we're not is what we're really developing in the more advanced stages of our awakening. Let me see where I'm still unenlightening myself. Let me see where I'm still being a someone, and keep willing to see that until it disappears. And the moment that you see, all you can do is see, isn't it? The body's doing, the mind's doing, but not you. The moment you see, well, I've never actually really been unworthy. It's just been reinforced, this idea, because of the reflection coming back to me. I believed I'm unworthy, so this reflection, everyone has to treat me that way. Everything has to treat me that way. It's the law of the universe. It cannot be other. And the very moment I begin to question if I'm ever been unworthy, the reflection begins to change and agree that my worthiness has never been in question. And seeing is absolutely enough. But seeing it again and again, where it's a stubborn pattern, seeing it and allowing that seeing to stay interested in what's sustaining this pattern really? What is it that's sustaining this? If it's going on, what's the idea behind it? And where do I see a division between me and other, which is really the subject-object divide? I've recently increased my meditation, which I feel allows me to tolerate the chaos of mind while remaining the self. This reminds me that I do not have to do anything about the noise, just a reminder. Very good, very good. It's good to remind. It may seem like a basic thing, but we're all trying to do something about these patterns, aren't we? We're all trying to do something to get rid of karmic patterns. And really, it's enough to see, just to be that self, which is the seeing, the subjective awareness that's watching. And that's all it can do, is watch. I'm even reminded that the smaller triggers that are so close to me, I almost cannot see them, also have their basis in what I've, I'm even reminded that the smaller triggers that are so close to me, I almost cannot see them, also have their basis in what I am feeling as true. I'm seeing my word in real time as I face these challenges, and I'm just using these opportunities to again realize what I am. Is something else possible, is what I ask myself, just curious about what is happening. And I just continue to confirm over and over, what I am, and I continue to ask, what am I? So that is perfect. It's just wanting to stay interested in what you're seeing, and is there something else possible? You know, so if I'm feeling unworthy and someone is reflecting that back to me or something, is there something else possible I can experience here other than this divided, contracted state into cause and effect, subject and object? And just to do that, we'll begin to expand, because you're not agreeing. If you're looking for other ways to see it also, not rejecting this one, immediately you're not going to be able to believe this way that you're seeing it right now. It's got to give you distance and space. That's an exciting question, isn't it? Having no thoughts or ideas about what has manifested makes something else miraculous or spontaneous possible. This is the choice that excites me. It's, miracles are a miraculous way of living. It is the normal state, as the Course in Miracles says very clearly. And if they're not happening, well, it says that something has gone wrong, but I'd like to say that we are believing something that's dimming down those miracles. So miracles are spontaneously highest thing that can manifest. And when we begin to see that we can actually begin to allow what's highest to manifest, that we don't need to limit the manifestation by forcing it through a thought. Just like pure white light is going to be brightest, highest. And then if we put something in front of that light and we put a black spot in front of the light, it's going to dim it down. And the more beliefs we make, the bigger this black spot is going to be and the dimmer the light will be. Miracles are just what happens when you remove any filter. And spontaneously, what we wanted comes anyway in a way that's better than we could ever imagine. Keep investigating that if that does excite you. That's definitely something to look into. Excitement's there for a reason, isn't it? Lovely. So next one. Dear Helen, I'd like to thank you for last Monday's Gen 4th satsang titled Ego Excludes and Self Includes. It had a profound impact on me, a real game changer. I had never thought it to be possible to experience two states at the same time, strong negative emotion and peace. See, there's a difference. Peace is not a state. It's a constant when we allow it. It seems like a state because when a thought is believed again, we seem to lose that peace. But it's really just that tension has gone from the self back to the thoughts. That's when we seem to lose that peace. Attention's on my real self. I feel peaceful. And then attention goes to a thought that pops up that's really believed, and I seem to lose my peace. So it feels like peace is a state coming and going. But I get what you mean, that you can experience two things at the same time. I totally get that. Your teaching was so clear. We don't need to get rid of the negative emotion first in order to feel peace. See, that should be really excited, put you right back in control. You know, a real sense of I don't need to change anything about my mind and body or world to feel peace. It's only where my attention is going. If it's on the self, then I'll feel peaceful. And the longer it stays there, I'll feel joyful and more loving and all of those things. And when I eventually realize that even though thoughts are playing, emotions are playing, that I don't have to lose that peace. It is a joyful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing. Self includes everything and it's always present under all circumstances. It includes everything and it is everything. So how would it, you know, self isn't going, okay, I'm going to include, I know this is not what you're saying, but just for purpose of clarity, I'm going to include the bliss and reject the fear. You know, it doesn't do that because it doesn't use those labels, bliss or fear. And it doesn't even think that bliss is good or fear is bad. It's like one of its creations, you know, fear or bliss arises out of it, is made out of it, is not different to it. So of course it would include, it's like an author writing books and then disowning the books. They're not mine, you know. Of course, they belong to the author. They are a creation of the author, aren't they? And you might write a good book, a happy book, or a sad book, a tragedy. But they're all emerging out of that source, aren't they? So they're not, the self is naturally inclusive in that it doesn't exclude anything. Following your suggestion, I adopted the mantra, what else is there that I can experience in this moment? It's been with me every time I experience a negative emotion or just a feeling of unease. Then I discovered that I could use it in all kinds of circumstances, such as on my daily walks. When walking in my neighborhood, sometimes I feel joyful and energized, but most of the time it's very automatic and I'm kind of dragging the body along. Now I ask, is there another way of experiencing this walk? Wow, powerful, isn't it? What else am I able to experience in this moment? Just going against the assumption that what I'm experiencing right now is all there is to this moment, and really questioning what else is there available. And there's always peace, love, and joy available as we begin to really open up in this way. This inquiry is now used in all kinds of daily activities, cooking, taking a shower, drinking a cup of tea, etc. I notice that my ways of being are repetitive and lifeless, just a chain of habits that have been reinforced by mindless repetitions. So once you see that, you can move on, can't you? You can really kind of, wow, I don't just have to be totally fixated on what my body's doing. I can be able to experience on many levels at the same time what my body's doing, how my emotions are feeling, if there's any higher spiritual vibrations that are available to feel, and there always is, always. Can you see the moment you inquire, you open up to all of that? And normally we're just habitual. This is my walk. This is my life. This is my, I'm just doing the dishes. I'm just whatever we're doing. The mantra opens up the door to the infinite possibilities that I am. Is that what you mean when you tell us to keep open and curious? Yeah, just to be open feels so amazing, doesn't it? Just to be curious, to never ever assume that what I'm experiencing in this moment and what I'm experiencing as this moment and also as the someone, the human being appearing in this moment is all there is to experience. If there's one habit I've destroyed and replaced by the openness and curiosity, it's that, the assumption that how I'm experiencing reality is all there is. If you look at the normal everyday waking state consciousness of human beings, it's riddled with that assumption, isn't it? That this is it. This is the world. This is reality. This is as much as it is. That's as good as it gets. And the awakened state really is where that open curiosity has become habitual and effortless and continuous. And that's not a hard thing, is it? Once you start to get a taste of what that feels like. You know, I'm either going to have to experience my thoughts and emotions only as a someone having those thoughts and emotions, or I can be open and curious, and those thoughts and emotions are going to be appearing inside me as some of my creations, and I'll also experience other more positive creations, more higher in frequency, ones that feel better and better. And the more open and curious you are, the more childlike, the more wonder, the more awe you're going to begin to experience. You're going to begin to experience an entirely different planet than what everyone else does. Well, same planet, but different world, let's just say. Walking down the same street, same time, same day, completely different experience to someone walking right next to you. Just joy and awe and wonder and childlike curiosity. It doesn't make you childish, it makes you childlike, and that's something that we can all aspire to. So I really encourage you to kind of indulge in this. If it's grabbed you, if there's something exciting about it, then go with it. All I've ever done is cultivate that openness, that willingness to question any thought, and that willingness to question what else is there in this moment to experience? And it's become habitual and continuous. It's not that thoughts and things don't arise from time to time, occasionally negative emotions, occasionally something in the manifestation goes a little screwy. And the immediate response, automatic default response now is, what's that about then? Not kind of, why is this happening, you know, that the mind does. So another question. This mantra is a very open question with no illusion to possible outcomes. So that's very good. Can I add a preference such as, is it possible to experience more energy and joy in this walk? Or can this body feel more relaxed in this moment? I wonder if the stating of a preference is the ego wanting to be in control. Well, oh, thank you for your help. Well, I'd like to say it's not really ego, is it? It's the self really noticing, you know, this is where I've been running on habit, feeling the same way. And it's totally okay to be more specific with it, where you feel, you know, I feel really, really tired. I notice every time I sit down at this point during the day, I feel so tired. You know, is it possible for me to experience more energy? It's really just another way of saying, is it really true I'm lacking energy? You know, so I'd highly recommend that if you're noticing areas of your life that seem to be very habitual and same, Groundhog Day again and again and again, it's always because we're very closed in our way of experiencing. I'm just doing this thing. And it's possible to feel the same higher states no matter what we're doing. So I'd really encourage you to see, if I ask the question, is it possible to feel more energy? I immediately start to. But it's the openness that's allowing that energy. It's the closed habitual thing that denies the energy, because you are infinite in your essence, in your nature. And when we believe one thought and keep experiencing this one thought, it taxes us. It cuts off so much energy. It's like this brilliant, brilliant light. And it's turned right down to just the barest speck. Most people allow just enough life force into the body so that it doesn't die. And really just kind of turning back up that dimmer switch, infinite energy. Yes, the body gets tired still and you need to sleep when it needs to sleep. But that will happen. There'll be a natural knowing, okay, now I need to go to bed. And it's not dragging myself through the day exhausted. It's believing the thoughts that exhaust us. It cuts off the life force. Just like if you sit on your leg, it cuts off the flow of blood. If you sit on your beliefs, it cuts off the life force. And this is why the body eventually becomes exhausted, stressed, tense, anxious. And eventually, years and years and years after, diseased and distressed, and it's not at ease because it hasn't got the life force in abundance that it needs. So I'd absolutely recommend you going with that one. Wonderful feedback and good to have some homework from you. Lovely. Next one. Hi, Helen. Here is my feedback from my homework this week. It's been a bit of a week, to be honest, so I'll try and keep to the point. I started off reading chapter 5 of Reality Check a few times over a couple of days, and also looking at some examples where I feel that cause and effect is playing out still in my life. I picked a simple example of when I experience pain in the body, I still sometimes feel fear. I tried to turn the whole thing around by 180 degrees, contemplating perhaps the fear that is present is causing the pain to occur, and that I couldn't have one without the other. After a while, I had the feeling again that something was about to be revealed to me, but couldn't quite grasp it. I mentioned this feeling in my homework a few weeks ago, so rather than reaching for it, I just sat back and waited. Excellent. Don't even need to grab. There's nothing about awareness that can grab for this revelation. It's just going to happen as you relax and stay open. Nothing much happened for a while, but then I noticed that I could sense quite strongly that before I reacted to situations, I could feel that I was responding with the sense of fear. I could feel I couldn't write something on Facebook, for example, as I was scared of the response it would bring. I couldn't respond verbally to someone as I was scared I would upset them. It began to dawn on me that I spent most of my life living like this, and I'm unsure of what I'm really like. Wow, isn't that powerful? Fear has been my spectacles. I'm not safe. It has been colouring my entire existence, diminishing my self-love and joy and bliss and peace. And that so much so that it's reflecting as physical pain in the body also. And because the body, the natural state is one where your safety has never been in question. your security and your survival is not dependent on anything, and it's not possible for you to come to an end. That when we really chronically believe I'm not safe, then it has to show up somewhere chronically in our life, either our body or in our emotions too. But we're so used to, as a human being, feeling scared that we don't notice it. Everyone is walking around terrified and not able to accept it. So they're projecting it out onto other, or trying to please others, as you're kind of suggesting here in your homework. So what would it be like to respond to things without this fear in the background? There's a powerful question, isn't it? It's powerful to see, my God, my entire life I've been ruled by this fear. And what would it be like? What am I like? What actually am I? Who am I without this fear? And I'm not really talking about the awareness. I'm talking about the mind and body expression. Like, do I even know? I had this startling revelation in my own journey that I don't know myself at all, my mind and body. I've only ever experienced the unique expression of myself through this veil of fear, this veil of I'm not safe and I can't get what I want and I'm not deserving of happiness anyway, or awakening, or any of the good things. It was shocking. You know, I think at that point I was somewhere in my 30s, and I remember sort of really, I don't even know myself. I don't know myself at all. I only know the effects of fear. And it was shocking, but also very revealing and opening. And it led to this curiosity, which you're describing. And like, really, what is me? What does it look like without this fear limiting it? Wonderful. What would it be like to respond to things without this fear in the background? As this realization, it felt like this fear was now in my face, so to speak, and I couldn't ignore it any longer. Good. As this realization was going on, energy started to flow through the body more, but I also felt generally quite rough. I could feel various blocks in the body where it felt as if the energy was stuck. So this is where the fear is manifested. The fear gets stuck in particular chakras. So survival fear in the root chakra, fear of intimacy, fear of others in the sacral, fear of not getting what I want, fear of not being in control, trying to control in the solar plexus, fear of love, openness, communion, union, fear of unconditionally loving myself and others in the heart chakra, fear of self-expression in the throat. And I know you and I have talked about this. Self-expression is not just verbal. It is my whole self, how it expresses to the world. Fear of seeing higher realms, fear of seeing clearly in the third eye, and fear of the divine, fear of the self, fear of God in the crown chakra. So you'll feel there's various energy parts where they're blocked, and then there's various physical areas of the body that correspond to that. And of course, emotions and meridians are all, you know, all sort of tangled in together. And wherever it's stuck in particular chakras, then you'll notice that area of the body. So there's a lot of fear in the solar plexus. I'll have strong stomach pain. If I fear for my survival, it's going to affect the areas of the root chakra, the pubic regions, my legs, my feet, everywhere. Like, so you can see that unfolding. I don't want to go into the whole thing, but just sometimes it just helps to kind of see. You had an immediate physical response. So as the energy starts to flow, you can feel where it's stuck. So as you can see where it's stuck, you can begin to sort of recognize that, and just questioning the belief, I can't get what I want, is really a fear belief, isn't it? I can't get what I want to feel safe. I can't get what I need to feel loved or approved of, or all the things we're seeking. I attempted to see all of this as a good thing, very good. Just to be open is enough, the attitude of openness. Things were being shown to me where I was living from fear, from separation. Could you provide some advice on what is occurring and what I should contemplate on next? Thanks. So just to notice where it comes up, your body will tell you where it's stuck. And you can either go by the chakras or reference Louise Hay's work for how it's showing up. If you look at Louise Hay's list of physical ailments, diseases and all of that, and you can see the belief pattern. If you look at those, the whole A to Z list, you'll see that most of them are fear or unworthiness, which unworthiness is a version of fear. Unworthiness says, I can't seem to do what I need to do to feel safe or get what I need to get to feel safe, whether that's awakening, whether that's more money, whatever it is, approval from others, or anger. Those are the three main emotions. Anger is a feeling of being blocked from what we need. And anger, fear and unworthiness are really the same emotion. It's just how we're kind of handling it. Are we blaming ourselves that we can't get what we want to feel safe? Then we'll feel unworthy. Are we blaming others or other things that won't seem to come or shift for not being able to get what we need to feel safe? Then we'll feel angry. And even those have subcategories, anger. I can be angry at others or myself. And it will loop back around one more time. So just to kind of notice, it's a good thing, as you've said, that these blockages are being shown to you. Our body is giving us constant real-time 24/7 feedback about what we're believing to be true. And we can begin to thank the body. Thank you for giving me this feedback, even though I've not always welcomed it. And you begin to move forward. Yesterday, I had some pain in my shoulder, which is something that's come up before. And I really worked on, you know, seeing life as a burden, life is hard, was this root belief underneath that I've had sort of in all my life. And it translated to awakening at the time. And, you know, awakening is hard. So I had a lot of shoulder pain, really messed up my shoulder, took a long time to heal. And really worked on this belief that life is fun and joyful, this realization that life is spontaneously and working with me. I've only experienced it as being hard, life and awakening, because of my insistence that it is. And this shoulder pain came back up yesterday because of this seeing that I was describing in the life class, that explaining cause and effect is hard, it's difficult. The moment I saw it's not difficult, it should be spontaneous and easy and fun, which was my experience in the class yesterday. And the pain disappeared. So the body will respond to that immediately. I don't really want to give much more feedback than that, because you're right on track. Your attitude's great. Everything's perfect. Just keep looking. Just keep wanting to see where the fear is controlling you. Next. I've been experiencing the pushback of unconscious programs as watching the events in the US this week. I was noticing the resistance to bad stuff coming out of nowhere, the belief in struggle and the idea of falling off the wagon. You address many of these items in the January 10 cause and effect call, and I thought I'd ask for any other comments you may have in viewing the disturbances, as it seems to be more intense. Thank you for all you do. So I'm not sure whether you're referring to the disturbance outside in the US or inside in the pushback that you're talking about. But really, my response would probably be the same anyway. These things have been going on within us forever. The difference is you're becoming more aware of them now because you want to see, you're developing a willingness to see where you're unenlightening yourself. Enlightenment is a natural, spontaneous state when we're not unenlightening ourselves based on some idea. And the collective unrest and the internal unrest are really the same reflection. As we begin to question or experience what's real more and more about ourselves, naturally we're going to begin to experience what's unreal, what still needs looking at. And that happens anyway, because it becomes less and less compatible with what you're seeing yourself to be. I'm not safe. I'm not good enough. can't get what I want. There may also be in this situation collective beliefs. The way we see the world as human beings is largely conditioned by media and other sources as well. How our parents saw the world, it is also adopted by us as children because we want to agree with them, because we want approval. And that's natural and normal, and it's fine. You know, but my worldview was that life isn't safe, the world isn't safe, and I'm not safe. I can't trust life, can't trust others, can't trust strangers. There's a lot of that kind of dense programming that I had to begin to look at. And what is going on in the US at the moment is a reflection of that within all of us. Because you have these beliefs inside, it's reflecting outside. And again, you being the infinite self, it's reflecting as the manifestation, like the clear water and the manifestation is the ripples, and that ripples outwards because you're everywhere. When you believe, you're not ever really a separate being. When you believe something, it simultaneously has to affect everything. Such is the power of doing this work that when you contemplate and transcend a belief, it begins to affect everything also. So just look at the unconscious programs, what real strong feeling comes up from ways of seeing life. What are your habitual ways of seeing life? I've mentioned a few of mine that were previous. I've just mentioned in the last homework one that popped back up again, that life is a burden. Popped back up yesterday for an hour or two. They every now and again, these ways of looking at life, at ourself, they're very general attitude traits, and it'll be either some form of fear, trying to control, or anger, something like that. And then just begin to question those, just to be aware of them. Wow, I really think the world is unsafe. For me, for years, I've persisted in feeling extraordinarily unsafe, even though I'd never been attacked, never been physically hurt or anything like that. It was still an attitude that I felt very strong. It felt very true. And I can see it came from my parents. It also came from many other lifetimes of being persecuted. Those were also reflections of persecution in different previous lifetimes. Where I picked up this original idea that I'm not safe is the very first time I believed I am this body, because that immediately makes me vulnerable, small, and at some point I'm going to cease to exist. There's no greater insecurity than that, is there? So, yeah. If the disturbance is becoming more intense inside or outside, just begin to see, showing you what you're believing that isn't true. The world is safe. The world is you. The world is the self. What we're experiencing, seeing on the nightly news, is a reflection of what we think about the world, not the actual world. The world and self, with capital S, noumenon, I, me, ego, all have to become synonyms in the final seeing. That the collective unconscious beliefs of humanity, which isn't really collective because it's only one, is playing out on a global scale. Lovely. Just keep wanting to see, and you won't suffer through it. Okay. So this homework is, if you remember last week, there was a person that sent in some homework that was really feeling down and desperate. And ego was saying some kind of feelings like nothing is moving, nothing is shifting, no matter what I do. And I asked this person to write these statements down, these statements that felt desperate from the ego, and to really say them and say them and say them until they lost their egoic meaning and began to, something else began to happen. So this is the feedback of that. Dear Helen, this is a response to last week's feedback. I was glad I wrote it because I felt very powerless and angry at the moment, at that moment. I'm glad you wrote it too because it helped everyone, including you. After I wrote my mail to you, I asked for help from sages wanting to see myself fully right now. I also asked to see things from a new, higher level and wanted new tools for this. I guess deep down, I just wanted to feel better because the suffering was so intense. But no, I got what I asked for. I felt even worse the whole day without a second of peace. It was like opening the Pandora's box of misery. All the negative emotions possible went through me, and my mind was so full of BS thoughts, it felt like a personal purgatory. Later on, I recognized what burned away was just illusions, and in order to see myself clearly, this had to happen. That's good that you can see that. I have to really see what I really think about myself and the world, don't I, before I can transcend it. And when I first see it, it's going to feel awful because I'm really believing it still quite a lot, therefore experiencing the resulting emotion. I mean, if I really believe I'm not safe or I'm not good enough, you can really tell what kind of emotion response that's going to be. The result of adrenaline cascading through the body. And as I begin to see and see and see and keep seeing, the more I see it, the less I believe it. The more I believe it, the less I'll want to see it. The more I see it, the less I'll be believing it, which is why I ask you to write these down and say them, staying aware of them. Lovely. I stayed with the feelings, not trying to get away, even if I didn't feel comfortable. Good, good. So mature that, isn't that, in your attitude? But my body started to feel very stiff and contracted, and I managed to reserve a full body massage quickly, and that helped. So your body is reflecting back these stiff and contracted attitudes about life, about ourself, about our world, the world, about awakening, a lot of the attitudes. We generally only have one attitude and we imprint it onto the world, what we think the world is, onto ourselves. We see ourselves that way. We see the world that way. We see awakening that way. We see anything that's of value. We see even God that way, that God isn't safe. You know, if I don't feel safe, I'll be sure the world isn't safe. I'll be pretty certain it's not safe to meet God either, because he's going to give me a right good telling off. You know, why did you run away all those millennia ago, or something like that, you know. So it's an attitude that pervades everything. And the more you want to see it, the more you're aware of it, the less you want to see it because it's just being believed, the more that you are at the effect of it. Then in the evening, I listened to Helen's answer and I burst into tears and cried a lot. I noticed I had come a long way already. Wonderful. Yet I was still resisting the uncomfortable things and this had to come to an end. See, that's normal, isn't it? None of us want to look at this stuff. It's very easy to be willing to look at the noumenon in its unmanifest, pure form because it feels amazing. It takes a mature being to develop the willingness to look at this deep-seated attitudes about life. And that's really what this graduate program is. It's going to show us what we really are and it's going to show us what we believe we are or what we believe about others. And it's really good that you're developing that and that you said it has to go. Yet I was still resisting the uncomfortable things and this had to come to an end. I contemplated nothing is moving. So one of the things the ego was saying is I just can't break through. Nothing is moving. Nothing is shifting. So you contemplated nothing is moving. Nothing is moving. There it was, the essence of self. When nothing is moving, everything just is. From ego, this means a roadblock. It doesn't know what to do anymore. That's why it feels so bad, doesn't it? I'm blocked. For the self, it was peace. I soon found peace in this sentence, like in the others I did, and there was no need to ponder them All roads lead to peace. Next day felt a lot better, and my dear friend called and said that she had made the biggest decision of her life, which I had prayed for, and this felt it was mine. So happy I was. So this immediate reflection of your friend finally making a decision that needed to be made, perhaps it's a breakthrough in other being, represents this breakthrough in you, doesn't it? That if I take even the most basic statement of ego, I don't know what I am, or I don't think I'm ever going to be able to do this, I don't feel able to wake up. And, you know, we really contemplate, I don't feel able to wake up. I don't feel able to wake up. I don't feel able to wake up. You sit with that, you sit with that, you sit with that statement. The very next thing you're going to realize is I don't need to wake up. That's why I'm not able to wake up. All of these statements are sutras of pure gold. But when we hold them from ego, they feel like a roadblock, as you said. When we allow the self to contemplate them, it's really just an attitude shift, isn't it? I got that I needed to really learn to also love the ugliness of life, not just the beauty. I got help with this in so many mysterious ways and quickly learned it was possible to start celebrating the shadows. So good, because self isn't calling them ugly or shadow, is it? It's shadow really just means where the light hasn't penetrated. So, you know, where my body blocks out the light of the sun, there'll be a shadow. So the shadow is just that which I haven't looked at, which I haven't seen yet. And it loses its scariness then, doesn't it? And it all becomes beautiful when you embrace it. These are my creations. All these thoughts about not being good enough are rising out of me. And I can embrace them as my creations, my offspring, in a way. I have many, many millions of offspring, and I can embrace them all. I became an alchemist, transforming feelings and beliefs into peace, toxins into intoxication. Beautiful. I looked at my misery with new playful eyes and changed it to something I felt good about, like, and it's a quote, I am a master manifester of lack of abundance. I certainly have not failed. I can do this like no one else. You know, I remember realizing I had always been getting abundance. I'd just been getting an abundance of lack, not enoughness in terms of money here, over and over again. I thought, I'm always getting abundance. It's just whether it shows up as abundance. There's always an excess of something, whether it's lack or more than enough. It's really up to me how I'm seeing it. So glad this is being seen for you. You can probably see how excited I am. I love it when somebody really applies the feedback and then gets these wonderful results. It's brilliant. My unworthiness is really world class. I should get a Nobel Peace Prize for it, because at the end, these contemplations and insights are bringing peace to me and everyone else way faster than any worldly action. Wonderful. See, celebration, embracing, bringing it back in, it's here to show me something, it's here to teach me something, and then you're not pushing it away. Wonderful, wonderful. After doing this, I just couldn't feel bad about them anymore. I also started to love more the worldly shadows playing out everywhere, welcoming the visiting feelings of injustice and being mistreated. I also noticed all my wishes for freedom, peace, and abundance for humanity already unfolding in many ways. See, that's powerful, isn't it? I'm actually willing to see that I'm already getting what I've asked for. Well, I'm so sure I'm not good enough and I can't get what I want. I won't see the garden that's growing right under my feet. I won't see the good that's happening in my life and those around me just from my awakening. I won't see the many ways I'm being blessed. I'll be so focused on this is what's going wrong that I won't see it. And the more you want to see how you are already getting what you have asked for, you will see. And if we just do that one thing, is life, am I is the world actually like I think it is? I'm really willing to see. I really want to see if it's actually like I think it is. And something wonderful is going to break through. Love and gifts come in mysterious ways, sometimes in an ugly box. Such an amazing week, so many insights and improvement. A big shift is happening to me and the world. It has to be. It has to be happening in the world if it's happening in you, because you are the world. Those two words, you, world, are synonyms, because you are everywhere. And there's plenty of evidence to the opposite of that if you switch on the TV or go to the news or all of that. So you just stay in your, I'm not saying ignore that stuff, but that is a very narrow selected focus of what to write about. Every day there are countless miracles, gifts, manifestations, healings, things going right, people being kind to each other. And it's all completely ignored. All of it. Can you see that the media's focus on what's going wrong is mirroring our focus, is a reflection of our focus on what's going wrong? We refuse to see how it actually is, really, in reality. And then that's mirrored outwards. So well done. Very, very happy. Very happy. Thank you so much. Love. Lovely. So we'll take a break for now, and I'll come back with part two.